Yes, joining us on the show today and joining us from the great city of Las Vegas, Nevada, we got the host of Girl Chat Sports, Melissa Ferris, joining us. How's it going today, Melissa?
Hey, what's going on?
Thank you so much for joining us today, and sorry for the confusion. You know, everyone, and I mentioned in the flyer that, you know, Melissa was residing in Seattle, but she does live in Las Vegas. Just a little...
It's a three-hour time difference.
Yeah, just a little fact error. Yeah,
it's the same, yeah.
See, you can't blame me because, you know, you rep Seattle everything. Every time I see any of your pictures, you got a Seahawks jersey. And then you sent me a picture to use when you were at the Seahawks game with the 12 sign. And then your number is a Seattle number, too. So, I mean, I assumed wrong. But anyway.
A little confusing.
Right. But I guess Vegas is a nice little consolation prize. If you weren't living in Seattle, Vegas would be the next best thing.
My sports, although we are going to get a few, it sounds like, or at least one, if not two, coming soon.
Right.
So that'll be nice. But I do miss Seattle. I miss the sports. I miss the water. But that rain and that traffic is some things that I'll never be able to go back to, probably.
Oh, really? Traffic is bad in Seattle. I've never heard that.
Yeah, traffic is really bad in Seattle. They only have, like, one major freeway.
Man, it's the West Coast, dude. Right. It's always bad.
And I think when you move from a desert, I mean, when you move from a city like Seattle to a desert in Vegas, as much as people want to hype it up, there's going to bound to be some traffic differences there.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Vegas has a lot of people, but for some reason there hasn't been a huge traffic issue. Most of our traffic issues are construction-related, which is basically just construction cones everywhere and nobody doing anything.
That's the same thing here, man.
That's Las Vegas in a nutshell.
Well, hey, at least you're living in Vegas. A lot of people can't say that.
Hey, they sure can't. They sure can't. But hey, we're here, so that's how it is.
Absolutely. And let's get things kicked off since we are here. Let's first touch on... We're going to touch on all Seattle, everything, don't worry, and we'll jump into some old school talk. I know you mentioned you like 90s basketball. We're going to talk about that. But let's first touch on what you're doing now with the Girl Chat Sports podcast. Talk to me about it, you know, when you started it up, what's your mission with it, your goals, like short-term, long-term goals, and what you plan to pursue with that platform.
A different person last year, Jamie Collier. She had basically developed kind of like a community for women that maybe had interest in sports or enjoyed sports or knew a lot about sports to come together. I kind of came on. We had a video podcast, which you can also find on our YouTube channel. And we did that for about a season, I guess you could call it, in the show age, a season of that. And then she actually left and moved out to Seattle. And so I found another girl who's Stephanie Washington. She is my co-host currently. We started up just a basic audio podcast this last, probably early in the fall. And so we've been going on with that. Basically just a way for women to kind of come together and to discuss sports, to also learn about sports, and to help them kind of gauge, you know, if there's something they need to know or something they want to know, they have questions, so they don't feel as awkward when they're talking to maybe their boyfriend or husband or coworkers, or maybe they want to play fantasy football and they have questions but don't want to sound stupid, or it could just be for the guys. I have guy friends that just tune in because they want to hear girls that know something about sports.
Absolutely. No, I definitely agree with you there. Nothing is sexier than a woman who knows her sports or is knowledgeable about it. I don't think so. All right, and
especially those that will talk shit pretty good. I mean, we'll talk. Sorry.
Don't worry about it.
You know, a good game. Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard. That it's one thing if you actually know sports, but it's another one if you actually feel comfortable in being able to challenge men, and that's always interesting.
Right.
And then I want to just reintroduce. So you said that your show, it's not only focused on the women's sports aspect of it. It's on all the sports, so anybody can be engaged in the show, right?
Exactly. So it's girls chatting about sports. That's kind of how the name came about. So we're basically talking about sports. It's not necessarily in regards to women's sports, although we do, you know, promote and we do support women's sports. We actually interviewed the Gonzalez twins last year from UNLV, who are two beautiful and talented girls, or young women actually now. So we definitely support that. But I'm mainly an NFL football freak. So we're really talking about football, a little bit of basketball, hometown sports, old school stuff. So it's not just women's sports. It's women who know sports or want to talk about sports.
And speaking of football, you know, your Seahawks doing pretty well as of late. Now, I have to give them props. And, you know, we saw them last Sunday night football rematch of last year's second-round playoff game between those darn Carolina Panthers and Seahawks. You guys beat the brakes out of them from CenturyLink Field, or what you guys like to call them, the 12. You know, 40-7. So talk to me about that game specifically, what you saw from the Seahawks and what you expect from them, like, moving forward.
Well, it was definitely nice. You know, we had that terrible game in Tampa. I don't know if it was just a fluke. I don't know if it was, you know, flying East Coast. It was terrible for us. It was terrible to watch. I mean, like you had mentioned, I think, before when we had talked earlier, was that they literally scored 5 points, which was awful.
Yeah.
So being able to see the offense come back, for our offensive line to actually hold up a little bit, because here's the deal. We've never had a great offensive line ever since I've been a Seahawks fan, which has been quite some long time. And especially even in our Super Bowl, since our Super Bowl win, our offensive line was, like, okay. It was never, like, outstanding. So to be able to see, you know, Russell moving good, he was actually able to get out the pocket, run around, move. I mean, he was making plays, getting him to dish. I mean, we had, I think it was Kurse, Baldwin, and Lockett and Graham. All four of them had over 60 yards receiving, which has almost never happened. So seeing him being able to, you know, to distribute the ball evenly between our receivers as well as our tight ends, I know it was great for me to see the guy from Ohio State. He's a rookie from tight end that was drafted from Ohio State. I saw him at Senior Bowl last year. Anyways, he got in the mix. You know, it's nice to have some tight ends out there that are help pushing around and blocking as well, other than just receiving. So that was nice. Thomas Rawls, I mean, we've all been waiting for the day that he came back in force. You
right.
know, last season he came and had a few games after Marshawn got injured and, you know, broke some great records and then got injured himself. And this year we thought, hey, you know, I was one of the people that drafted him in fantasy football thinking, oh, my God, this is the year he's about to break all these records. And then it was, you know, cut to week 11 when he's coming back. So seeing him having the outstanding game he had two touchdowns in the first half, that was incredible. We're glad to have Michael Bennett back. I mean, he's obviously needed on our defense. You know, there's just, now our hearts are breaking because Earl Thomas.
Yes, absolutely.
And you mentioned it on offensively. You had all your receivers go over 60 yards, but also your tight end, Jimmy Graham, also went for 63 yards and a touchdown. So can you just talk us through what has changed this year from last year? Because when he was when they acquired him from the big trade from the Saints, it was not looking right. It did not gel, and he went on IR. But this year, he looks like a different monster. He's slowly approaching 1,000 yards. So what has changed from him from last year to this year?
We first acquired him, obviously he hadn't been used to the, you know, we were working two different offenses than Drew Brees and the Saints had. I mean, he never really needed to block. He never needed to kind of do anything necessarily other than just catch the ball, go deep and catch is what he had to do. For Seattle, we never really had a tight end that could do that. Not to mention, you know, we were still hurting for wide receivers that could make those plays sometimes too. So if for him, I know it was hard to kind of mix and to get into a new offense last year, and then he got injured. He came back, you know, basically he's been flying a seaplane around Seattle and playing some basketball. He got back into this extreme shape. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but he's, like, a lot slimmer. He played a lot of basketball over the off season, and he's come back, and I think he's really starting to mesh with the offense. I think the offensive coordinator, I think he's starting to work around Jimmy a little bit, and I think they're starting to actually blend. Like, we're becoming an actual offensive team, as long as we can get our offensive line to actually, you know, help us out a little bit.